El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I sometimes write a weekly column, also called Unpopular Opinion, and I use that column to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then I come on this show to defend those opinions. Joining me today, he used to be my co-host on this show. Now you can hear him on a podcast about the TV show Big Brother, called Hey Julie. You can also hear the podcast he produces over at Yahoo Sports. Ladies and gentlemen, Brett Rader. Also joining me, he's my sometimes co-host on the podcast right goddamn now, including today, an episode he's here for. You'll be able to tell by how the soundboard gets used today. Ladies and gentlemen, fresh off of appearing on our 300th episode, back again, Randall Maynard. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion.
Pasta fagioli.
Ah, it's a podcast.
Italian Greek wedding. It's a Greek Italian wedding.
It's a Gritalian is what we call that.
Yeah,
I would,
yeah.
I would kind of restaurant. I would ask our friends in the Mediterranean if they had a preferred.
Okay, we'll pause until we get an answer. And we're back.
Did you call it the Mediterranean?
Oh, that's a name of like a Netflix mystery show for like grandmas. Like
that does sound
mystery on the Mediterranean.
They go on vacation, but they don't come back.
That sounds pretty
cool.
And
only one old person can solve this case. Mediterranean.
Judy Dench.
Yes.
You know, the hardest part of this show for me is the first few minutes. Hit it, Brett. Because okay. I spend all that time asking everyone else what's going on in their life when all I really want to do is talk about what I've been up to since last week.
Hey, what have you been up to?
And that's why we call this segment This Week in Me. You shut your fucking mouth. It's about to get really intense. I'm not live streaming, so I'm playing this live. You get one or the other, not both, on three synthesizers. Yeah, well, you got a problem with that, pal?
Who are you yelling
this
at?
This is actually played on a Glockenspiel.
You're right. Just fade it out, please. Thank
just
you.
Aggressively yelling at the audience.
I was yelling at you because we haven't even introduced ourselves. I'm Adam Todd Brown.
Yeah.
Yay. Hey. Brett's here.
Boo.
Brett.
Boo.
And Randall.
Hey, now.
Who's going to run the soundboard? Probably none of us. Maybe that'll be the twist. No one on the soundboard today. Yeah. Randall's reaching for it. I don't know if it stretches that far.
That's a good excuse.
This is good pod so far.
I can see it's connected to like a 80-foot cable. And yeah, you're like, I don't think that's going to reach over to where you are, which we're sitting right next to each other.
How are you guys doing?
Well, you know.
I've been here this whole time.
I've been here. Brett delivered about 45 minutes worth of outtakes before we started recording.
Adam was very constipated.
Now, I was. I had to get a spoon up in there like Bobby Brown and Whitney Houston.
He had some prunes to just get normal.
Yeah. And I had to let that run through.
You got
to
get right. And yeah, while you were gone, we had a pretty engaging conversation about Wilford Brimley.
He's got you. He's got the disease.
Oh, God.
Yeah, there was debate as to whether he's still alive. And unpopular opinion, he is.
Well, you just gave away all the bone con right there. So you gotta.
That's fine. Yeah. I'll edit this out, too, right, and put that in bone
con. If you want to hear that
so again. How's everyone doing? I already did the cutoff, and it seems like I maybe did it a little too early.
Oh, yeah. I feel like we might need another one.
I feel like I might need two or three. Hey! You know the hardest part.
Kill it.
Come on.
Kill it.
Oh, yes, right.
I'm good.
Good. Brett, Jesus Christ.
See, nobody. This is what everyone does. Like, when you have amateurs.
It's responsibility. It's a responsibility not everyone can handle.
It's a responsibility to not. It's about the fucking drops you don't play.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about not hitting a button every 3 seconds. Like, listen,
Randall.
I'm not listening to anything anyone's saying because I swear to God I have heat stroke. It's like 100 degrees in the valley. God. It took me a while to get here.
It did take me a while.
Well, you went to the wrong
here.
Address I went despite to the having studio. Been to the new studio before. Yeah. Brett's never been here.
You know,
I found it on time.
He found it.
Like, I got iced coffee before.
I got stuff going on, man. I'm all over the place. I'm trying to find the goddamn studio.
Brett, how do you like the new recording space?
I like it. It's nice. It's got very convenient location. Adam, how do you feel about having it not part of your domicile?
I love it.
Like, I would imagine that there's there's a drudgery of like, it's like above my bedroom.
Well, the dream when I was working a day job was to always not have to go to an office.
And then once you start working from home, you're like, for Christ's sake, get me out of here.
Well, it was still fine until I started a podcast network.
Hey.
Because working from home then requires a lot of people coming to your apartment. And it really turns into kind of a bummer having that many people in and out of the place you live. So this is much better. It's not far from where I live. I can walk here and I like it. I still need to put like a tour or something, like a video tour up so people can see it.
Yeah.
You should sell tours for like $65 a pop, like Warner Brothers does. Like,
that's not a bad
idea.
We
got Central Perk here. We got the old Central Perk here. It's still there for $65. We'll let you walk around where Ross farted.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
I should let people, I don't live here, so I should let people spend the night here.
It's haunted. Yeah, if they can spend one night.
Like the Field of Dreams house.
It's haunted by the weird self defense Henry Rollins armless guy that.
What?
You know those?
Oh, yeah.
Those
my
things?
Neighbors
Your
have
neighbor
a weird like armless torso.
Oh, I know exactly
porch.
What you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, they have one. And when I was passing by, I was like, Jesus Christ. And my peripheral vision, I thought some guy was like standing there. And I was like, nah. And then it was like, but you know, of course, you look like a floating person with no shirt
those
on.
Are the instructions I give when people ask how to find the place.
They're like,
go to Burbank and look for the armless torso.
Yeah.
It really is incredible that they used Henry Rollins as like the mold for that.
They're like, who do you want to beat the shit out of the most? And everyone voted for Henry Rollins.
Wow.
So before we get started, I just have a couple things I always have to do, like give a shout out to our $50 subscribers, Kai Zilborski, Ann Bengtson, and Rebecca Stewart. Thank you so much. That's your $50 hard at work, me saying your name on the podcast, baby. Also, I have a show this weekend, August 3rd in Newport Beach. Check out my Twitter. Or no, August 2nd. Portugal the Man is August 3rd. August 2nd in Newport Beach.
Are you opening for Mumford & Sons at the Bank of California Arena?
I'm opening for them in Newport Beach, and then Portugal the Man's opening for them the next night.
Yeah.
They're doing comedy in Newport Beach. Should be fun. Come out to that. Check my Twitter for details.
Well, they're also a comedy troupe, which is what's great about them.
The Sons, Mumford.
Yeah.
Mumford Unfunny is a very bastard. Serious man. He did
but the Sons are very funny.
Right. He did a TED talk about death and and his father and like
I didn't like
sexuality. It was rough. It was rough.
Very rough.
I should not have laughed at that. Please cut that out.
So should we get into some unpopular opinions? As the title of the podcast implies.
Hit it, Randall.
Randall, you want to go first? Don't touch it.
I thought you meant the button.
That's what I meant.
I was going for it. Jesus.
We'll get back to you in a few minutes.
Come back to me. No. Yeah. Inspirational memes.
Okay.
Now, I'm calling them memes, but they're really just shitty. Like, they're just photos somebody stole of the sky or river. Or something, and then they put like some text on it, and then it gets passed around, and it's like inspirational quote or inspirational thing.
Is this a new thing than like the thing that's been.
Is this a new thing?
No.
Jesus Christ, Britt.
No, I'm asking you, is this like the memeification of them or like the digitization of them? Is this different than like when you went to when you went to like a doctor's office in 1991, they would have like the bear. It's like a bear, and it says, like, be as strong as you can be.
Hang in there, baby, and it's a cat from a power
I guess. I guess it's like an extension of that, but it's more like
– Has it like
I think
a new
that
era?
There are specific ones. Like, some of them are just, like, quotes, which is like – I mean, whatever. You quote Mr. Rogers. Who gives – that's great.
When the bees go, awesome. So goes society.
Yeah, that's my favorite Mr. Rogers quote. you know, so you have like quotes, you have like all these different, there's different classifications of these things, but there are ones that are like these sneaky sort of call to actions to people that really bother me, because it's like setting up some sense of expectation that you can't, that cannot be met immediately.
Give me an example. John Lennon.
So like, yeah, right. And I mean, that's, yeah.
He's already dead.
Yeah. Like, discipline is the key to unlocking your true potential. And that's over a picture of the sky. And it's like, you know, like that's kind of a way of going like, you should be more disciplined. And then it's
you
like,
should.
And it's like implanting a seed. It's planting the seed. But then it's like you're at work, you know, you're just sitting there. What are you going to do? Now you got the expectation set, but it's creating a sense of like magical thinking where you're like, okay, well, I'm going to do that now. But then, no, I'm not. And then, okay, now I'm a failure. I feel like there's some of these spiral people out of control.
Well,
I think they're doing the opposite of what they're intending to do.
It's kind of a double-edged sword, because something like that, like, what was it? Discipline is what?
Discipline is the key to unlocking your true potential.
Yeah. On the one hand, yes. That's absolutely true.
Well, yeah.
But also, like, I see where there might be an argument where someone would be like, that makes me feel like, well, everything's going on in my life is my fault because I don't have discipline.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, it's like there's this – it's like just putting it out there. It's like, hey, you.
Yeah.
Be more disciplined and you'll be happier. And it's like, okay. I mean, I think – that's what I'm saying. I think it's the opposite of being inspirational, because what it's doing is it's actually sort of – it's almost like a passive aggressive way of pointing out that you're not the thing that it's talking about.
Yeah.
And then just leaving you with that. Oh, by the way, you're not disciplined.
Do you think there's the potential for it to be inspirational to some people?
No. I think it's either you know it because you live it.
Yeah, you agree with it already.
You already know. You're like, oh, discipline, I know that. Yeah, fine. Or you're like,
thank you,
shit,
discipline Instagram account.
Yeah, exactly. You just got discipline splained. And then now
at discipline. Hashtag discipline.
That's my favorite hashtag.
If we just went on Instagram right now and just typed in hashtag discipline, how many bros like doing push ups like shirtless would there be?
Oh,
rise so and many. Grind.
Rise and grind discipline. Yeah, and then there's like, you know, there's one with it's just a tree. It's a branch of a tree, by the way, not a whole tree. So I would say that's you know, fair. That's setting up a realistic expectation. Don't show the whole tree, just part of the tree. That's not, you know, we don't,
yeah,
they're not burdening you with the whole tree. That's nice. You were put on this earth, I'm quoting, this is not me just saying this randomly. You were put on this earth to achieve your greatest self, to live out your purpose, and to do it courageously. And it's like, again, you're like, okay, well,
yeah,
what are you doing to the person who's reading this? Like, you're like, someone's going for inspiration and they're like, yep, okay, well, I'm not living my best life? Is that what
you're saying? There should be an asterisk next to every inspirational quote, and at the bottom it should tell you who said it. Like, in more detail than just name.
Like, yeah. Like, who the fuck was that? Because it's like, oh yeah, that's by Jack Fuckface. And it's like, well, okay, well, who's he? Well, he was a Nazi. Yeah. Oh, okay, well.
Like, I know.
He never accomplished anything. He was the first person to murder a
tree. Yeah. That's why we only got the little
branch. Yeah.
Yeah, and then
so you're saying that these are good? Is that your unpopular opinion?
I'm saying these are really helpful for me. but yeah, then there's like the last one. Train your mind to stay calm in every situation. Again,
that's easy.
It's like,
that's easy for a poster to say.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm like, well, okay, poster. Good.
I struggle going to the, you know. Huh? I go to the airport with my loved ones, and they're like, why are you acting like a maniac? I'm
why
like, well, there's fucking
so
thousands
much?
Of people walking around, and I need to eat, I need to pee, I'm afraid about getting on a plane. Like,
I just
train your mind to be calm at all times, whatever it is.
I just straight up took weed through the airport for the first time without concealing it in some way this past weekend when I flew to South Dakota.
Ooh.
Exhilarating.
White privilege.
Well, I have a PAX Era vape pen that looks just like a fucking jewel. So I just threw that in my bag. Nice. And I'm assuming yeah, I've heard that about
the
PAX
is that that's the like it just looks exactly like a jewel and yeah. nobody cares.
No one gives a shit.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
So in conclusion, that was a great aside, but to wrap this up, I just think that what's happening is you're creating this you're seeding an expectation and then you can't take immediate action on it. So then you're just leaving someone with this sense of, well, I should have gotten to the end without any sense of progress or development. And I think it's depressing. I think it's the opposite of that. It's kind of almost, bragging text.
It is.
Braggy text.
What I take issue with is more along the lines of what Brett mentioned is the rise and grind mentality. Like, yes, if you're an athlete.
Right.
Or something like that, where the more work you put in, it really is going to pay off in your performance, most mm-hmm. likely. But like, I've seen comedians who are like sort of successful, but not really, definitely not any more or less successful than I am, who just constantly tweet shit about how like you need to be working all the fucking time. Like, you shouldn't be sleeping that much. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? You're in a creative field. You need sleep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You gotta get some rest, man.
If that's your idea of how to be successful in a creative field, that's why you're only as successful as you are. Yeah. Get some fucking rest.
That's psychosis. That's not a,
Yeah.
That's not a game plan.
And I feel like I've had some of that to some extent in my life because there've been places I've worked where that was sort of the culture.
Yeah.
Where everyone, like, was working all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And it's that is no way to be.
No, I know exactly.
Those people are lying to you. You do not need to be that way.
I know exactly what you're talking about too, especially when it gets into the creative field. It's weird because it's like you're not going to be doing your best work under these conditions, and yet it's like someone's having this. Like, if someone's doing that to themselves, you're hurting yourself doing that. If you're not making time to rest, you're not making time for a life, you're not making time for anything outside of your work. First of all, you're crazy, to put it lightly, and you need to get help because that's not healthy at all. And then if you're pushing that on other people as an expectation, you're creating a very toxic, very volatile work environment that's awful. It almost sounds like I'm speaking from experience.
Crazy, right?
Weird. Almost. Yeah.
We know you're
just,
not.
No way. Off the top of my head. That's,
when I lived your in new New- job sounds bad, Randall. Crazy.
When I lived in New York, some of the best advice I got was along those lines from, you know, when this is at a time in my life where I was like devoting all of my spare time to like improv comedy, which is not a good choice, but it's all right. We all grow up. And a teacher who I knew who's like now.
Mrs. Frizzle.
Mrs. Frizzle.
Oh, I thought
we went inside the mind.
Go on.
I lost my lunchbox inside the mind.
I thought I was supposed to shout out a teacher when he said that because he brought up improv.
I was, you know, someone who's now like pretty successful as a writer and such. She said, like, you have to like do things other than like your work or whatever you consider your work to be. Like, take that evening a week to go to a concert or see a play or go to a park. Mm-hmm. Because in addition to refreshing your mind with like a different stimulus, you're probably going to like learn something. Like, you're going to take away something from a performance in a play or by seeing someone in the park or by, you know, going to a restaurant. You're going to see something that is filling in your brain that you wouldn't have seen otherwise if you're just like, you know, doing that thing you do, you know, every day, whether it's playing piano or drawing comics or trying to be a stand-up comedian or whatever. You're only hanging out with stand-up comedians. Like, part of being a comedian, unless you're like brilliant or whatever, like a brilliant wordsmith, is like, it's observational. You have to go observe the world.
Yeah,
like, and that involves taking nights off from doing stand up to, you know, to go to a library and seeing the types of people who are in a library and observing them and
homeless people, right?
Masturbating furiously in front of the one computer that you need to use. Your phone's broken. You have to check your email. Right. Why is he masturbating?
You're going
to
die there.
Yeah, the key is sticky.
It's in public. What's
Gmail.com.
Why is security doing nothing?
It landed. The ejaculate landed on the G.
The ejaculate has landed.
What was I going to? I was going to agree with you, but now
can I give mine? I have a graphic design related unpops opinion.
Oh fuck!
Yes.
Opinion.
Oh shit!
It's not about graphic designers who I once worked with.
I don't give a shit about that. I'm waiting for this.
Okay, let's hear.
Ready.
Adults should not wear graphic tees.
Why do you feel this way? I'm wearing a graphic tee.
I'm also wearing a tee.
Personally attacked.
I'm wearing a tee with also a graphic on it. It's like just the name of the company that like it's like a company that makes shirts and stuff.
Right.
I'm not counting those. Like if you want to wear a shirt that says like Quicksilver or like whatever, like surf company or
those are graphics.
Is different. I mean, if you are an adult and you're wearing a shirt that says Star Wars on it, or you're wearing something that's like, if you're out at the bachelor party with your bros or bachelorette party with your bradettes and it's like Karen's in Vegas and she's no longer single and there's 12 of you and you all have that shirt, stop it.
Is this your new persona, by the way?
Yelling man?
I can't.
Adults shouldn't wear graphic tees.
I want to see you do this on stage.
I don't understand the justification.
Grow up. Wear a plain gray t-shirt like Randall Maynard.
Yeah, this is blue, bro.
You're
colorblind.
Is that what it is? You can't see all the vibrant colors in those graphic tees, and you're just angry.
You get confused.
I mainly mean this with like pop culture tees.
You're mad at like the Big Bang Theory characters, like the
I'm mad at people who wear like. I'm mad at people who wear Star Wars and or comic book tees. It's just like, what the fuck are you doing? You're 36 years old.
But what's
so you like? You like Green Lantern? Cool.
What?
Why don't you like walk around being like, I like Green Lantern.
But here's the
how does that affect you though?
I have a Masters of the Universe t-shirt that
I
wear.
You say you have Masters.
So when you wear it
very frequently, and I wear it because I was at Blast from the Past, which is a collectible store close to here.
So you wear it when you know you're going to go to some place where people would I like Masters.
I wear it too. Because it's a cool fucking shirt.
It's not cool.
And it looks great, and I get compliments when I wear it.
Is it one of the paintings from like
it's like a checkerboard pattern and it's got each character from Masters of the Universe in each spot.
Yeah.
And it's,
do you know what's a nice kind of compliment?
I think it looks good.
Does it have Grizzlor?
You know what's a nice compliment? Yeah. A nice clothing related compliment to get? When you wear fucking nice adult clothes and someone's like, you look nice today.
You're wearing a baseball tee from like a little league game. I don't understand.
I'm wearing a baseball tee with a logo for like a apparel company on it.
But I know, but I wouldn't say that was like the most adult shirt I've ever seen. Like that's not sophisticated.
It's not sophisticated, but it's not like a fucking Green Lantern tee.
Right. But I mean, I'm just saying, like, I'd be like, look at this guy. He's like, what is he, baseball?
So what
are Star Wars is for children. Transformers is for children? I don't know about those movies because they're really weird. Then they're like, they pee on
each other. Wait a minute. Star Wars is all ages, man.
Meaning children.
Oh, this is
fun. I disagree.
This is going down.
It's just a movie. It's like,
I know it's just a movie, but why do you have to wear a t-shirt for it?
Why not?
I like this movie. I'm wearing a t-shirt.
Okay, what about bands? Can you wear bands?
That's
or do you have to stop listening to music when you're young also?
No, you can.
Are you
going to
burn your rat-tat-tat t-shirt? I don't think so.
I love rat-tat.
We know.
Yeah. They're actually pretty good.
Brandon likes good music.
But I like them, but I'm just saying, like, are you going to – what's your – you have graphic tees. I know you do.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I hardly wear them.
I know, but this feels like this is where this is going. Like, you look at them and you're like,
I didn't say it was fully formed opinion.
I can't do it.
And I did not say it was
– So when you're Kang, everyone in graphic tees is first against the wall.
They're just going to get burned alive in the streets.
And exterminated from society is what you're saying.
You know
it's
what?
It's a war on gamers. Here's with what Brett Rader.
Yeah.
so here, what if no, you like Fortnite?
When I'm king, here's what happens. One, this is Target can no longer sell tees.
Bullshit. That's where I get all my favorite
graphic tees.
And they make the Target. Really nice.
Someone's
soft
walking
ones.
Around with a fucking like Ramones t-shirt with a little Ramones logo. It's like. You don't even know what the Ramones look like.
Dude, you're turning into like the most.
Or maybe they do. I got a purple rain t-shirt at Target the other day.
This is like a hard hipster.
Target would be barred from selling graphic tees. And then the people who had them, they would not be against the wall, but they would be ostracized. They would be known. It would be told to make them feel like others.
You're John Lithgow and Footloose.
Let it be known. Shirts. Oh, sorry, sir. If you want to eat at this Subway with your Big Bang Theory tea, you have to sit in the back.
Of Subway? You're saying
is there even a back of Subway?
Yeah, there's no. When's the last time you've been to Subway? Which gigantic Subway do you go to? And also,
to the basement.
Is there a way? Hold the fuck on. You can't tell me that a graphic tee is too much for a Subway. Like Subway's too good.
This is a family establishment.
It's like nothing's too good for Subway.
Establishment.
There's people in there with no shoes on. They don't even know what they want. They're just like, give me a slice of bread. Give me a handful of cheese. I don't know what I want in a bag.
Can I say the saddest
thing
I've ever seen?
Huh?
Can I say the saddest thing I've ever seen?
Is it a Green Lantern T-shirt?
No, it's related to Subway though.
It's a bunch of nerds.
Let's hear it. I got a great Subway story too.
When I lived in New York, the office building I worked in, of course, was close to a Subway. You can't swing a dead cat and not hit a Subway.
Right.
So I was there, and it was close to the Times Square area, lots of tourists. So I'm there just getting a – you know the days when you just need a $5 sandwich?
Hell
so
yeah.
It's like I need $5 worth of meatballs in me and hell horrible yeah. bread. And there was a British family ahead of me in line.
Woo.
And they were like clearly on vacation, this family, like a ma and a pa and a child, ma and pa, a mother and a father and their little children, Henry Winchell III, and the father.
Master.
And the father
You're
was
painting
like.
Painting such a rich picture.
So you know one of the breads they have there, the Italian herbs and cheeses bread?
Uh-huh.
The father is like, and they're like, what bread do you want? And he's like, Italian herbs and cheeses. And the person behind the counter was like, what? And he's like, Italian herbs and cheeses. And he was pronouncing herbs so fucking Britishly that I was like, you can't say herbs at a Subway. That's sad. That's like, they don't use herbs at Subway. They use herbs.
Yeah.
Like, if you want herbs, go to a real restaurant. But like, don't ask for Italian herbs and cheeses bread. At a Subway, because you're getting this Play-Doh gross bread. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen.
You canceled out your own complaint now because I want a graphic tee that says you can't order herbs at Subway.
I hate all you know all those text any tees with big text on them, like live, laugh, love, carpe diem,
carpe diem,
John and Paul and Ringo and George.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
It's a strong stance.
Burn them.
That is a strong stance.
What's your Subway story?
Oh, I was at the Subway in Union Station here in L.A.
Ooh.
Just got off a train.
Yeah.
Had been on that train for hours.
Oh, my God.
And I get in line at Subway behind this guy.
You must have been truly desperate.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was starving.
He was on a fucking train, for God's sake.
And this guy in front of me orders a sub, I think a steak and cheese. Doesn't matter.
What bread?
Also herbs doesn't matter. What matters is she asked if he wanted any sauce or any like condiments on it. And he goes, surprise me.
Oh.
And then she put Southwest sauce on it.
Fortune.
And he goes, I don't like that. Will you take it off?
What?
And I just wish I had that kind of confidence in my life to be that kind of a dick.
Yeah.
Like that is. And he was nice about it. He was like. Cheerful and like, oh yeah, no, actually, I don't like that. We just scrape that off and put like mayonnaise on. It's like just fucking say mayonnaise, you monster.
Also, man.
Also, if she squirts it, no, she's not making another. She's not wiping and making another sandwich for you or whatever. Like, you got to sit there and eat it.
If you say surprise
you
me,
sit in that mistake.
Yeah, you can't say surprise me and then
eat your surprise.
Yeah, she put it on there, and he asked, "What is that?" She should have been like,
"I don't know."
It's surprise. A surprise. It's a surprise. Adult man at a Subway.
Yeah, that was my Subway
surprise
story.
Surprise me. Fuck that guy. I hope he's listening.
What's next?
So no graphic tees, says Brett Rader.
Graphic tees, specifically comic books and Star Wars.
Pop culture.
Goonies?
No.
That's it.
Tide? Can you wear a t-shirt with the Tide logo on it?
The clothing soap?
Yep.
The clothing detergent?
Yeah. I'm sorry, do you mean Tide the clothing soap? Is that what the
Why would you want to wear a fucking t-shirt with the Tide logo on it?
Because it looks cool.
It does
look cool. I'm loyal to my brands, and my brands keep my colors looking mighty fine.
You're wearing a brand on your shirt right now.
Different situation.
No, it is not different. Almost 100% it's exactly different. 100% the same.
It's 99.99% different.
You're representing them. You're making yourself a free billboard for Billabong or whatever it is, whatever is going on there. And, like, you're not... Are you a fan of them? Or are you like, yes?
No, it's a cool
looking
shirt.
I want to permeate there.
It's a cool looking shirt.
It's a cool looking shirt. It's monster.
So, like, what's not cool about just throwing Tide on a shirt? An orange shirt with a Tide logo?
Yeah, that'd be dope.
That's sweet.
I'd wear it.
So weird.
I'm going to put one in the Unpop store. Start selling bootleg Tide shirts.
We'll change it to Ride.
I'll sell them for one day so the feds can't catch me. Too fast.
And be like, the Dukes of Hazzard of bootlegging t-shirts.
What's next?
Without a car or anything cool.
I want to, my opinion I want to talk about kind of piggybacks onto a listener opinion we'll get to next.
I thought you were going to say it's going to piggyback off of Brett's hate of
graphics.
Green Lantern, but I'm glad that we're going in a new direction.
This one, I feel like, I don't know if anyone will disagree, but Jeffrey Epstein. We know who Jeffrey Epstein is, right? Famous pedophile who is currently in custody.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Jeffrey Epstein is a horrific monster, and we should be protecting him with every fucking asset we have at our disposal right now.
I want to agree with you, but I want to say that, and I hope this upsets you, Brett.
Is he wearing a Green Lantern t-shirt?
I want to turn this into a comic book reference.
Knife him!
And say that he's the accountant from The Dark Knight that they have to keep safe to get to the mob's money.
Kind of,
because he's they're like, no. You have to stay alive, and we got to get you. You're connected to everybody that we're after.
Right.
You're the guy.
And he's a terrible person, and he deserves whatever fucking punishment he gets for his crimes. But until he's able to sit in front of someone who can do something with the information and out as many other people he was affiliated with who are also fucking trafficking young girls around the world – we got to fucking protect that dude.
Right. And it's like a lot of people are focusing on celebrities and stuff too, but he has connections to human traffickers. Like that's a big deal. Like there's a network here that he is somehow involved in. And that is worth pursuing. It's not just like, Trump. Trump's probably a pedophile. His base doesn't even care anymore. But that beyond that, there's so much more to the story, and it's insane. Like the fact that it was not only human trafficking, but it was paid for. It was done on fucking planes and shit. It's like there were a lot of accomplices and a lot of connections here.
I wrote a Medium article about this a couple months ago because at this. I had read a headline about how there were two unnamed individuals trying to block the release of the court documents in the Jeffrey Epstein
case. Name
them. Yeah, that's the thing. Name them for one thing. Find out why they want it blocked. But also, when that started happening, it opened up this big can of worms. The Miami Herald did an amazing investigation into all of this, and I linked to all of that at the end of my Medium article. But it... like this deal that Jeffrey Epstein got from Alexander Acosta, was it, what's that fucking guy's name? Who is the labor secretary?
I don't know.
I think it's Alex Acosta.
I couldn't remember the accountant's name in The Dark Knight, and I can't remember this guy's name either. I don't know.
But
oh, Lau in Dark.
But Trump made him the head of the Labor Department, and the Labor Department oversees and prosecutes sex trafficking. And he gave Epstein this deal that basically amounted to no punishment at all. And it was pretty obvious it was done to protect all the other people who were going to be like, that was one of the things as part of that deal. Anyone else who was named in that had immunity from prosecution.
Yeah, that's insane.
Which that can't be allowed to be a thing. And it's such a huge scandal that's getting no traction. Like, that, like any other, at any other point in history, that alone would undo any fucking president. And this can't end with Jeffrey Epstein. That's what they wanted. That was the point of that deal.
Yeah.
Was, okay, well, this ends with Jeffrey Epstein getting a little bit of punishment.
Yeah, he's isolated and then he was already, what, was he on parole or some shit? But he was still going around doing everything.
They gave him work release, basically.
Yeah, work release. He's a billionaire pedophile.
He's a sex trafficker.
Yeah, that's his work.
And it can't, like, this is our second chance. Like, this is our chance to undo what happened that first time, which was a huge injustice to all the victims. And we can't fuck it up. Mm-hmm. And letting him get murdered in prison will be us fucking it up.
Yep.
And if he gets murdered in prison before other people go down related to this, we need to take to the fucking streets and demand an investigation, even though he's a disgusting fucking pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's our conduit to busting other pedophiles.
You think everyone would be in support of this because even some of the people who we find on the fringes of society with some of the worst opinions who go, say, shooting up pizza parlors because there's some sort of lizard-related sex trafficking ring there. Like, you think of the people who are like that that obsessed, that interested in ending a sex trafficking ring in the case of a Hillary Clinton, a lizard person doing it in a Washington D.C. based pizza parlor.
Right. Like, Comet ping pong.
Yeah. Like, so if that's like,
use code UNPOPS at online checkout for 15% off.
Yeah. So if that's a situation where like, man, I got to go up there and take shit in my own hands, then you should probably feel the same way about, this feels like this should be a pretty down the line,
It seems down like the center everyone opinion. Can get behind, right?
Like, yeah, no one likes. Well, why are, this no is one not likes. Even no one likes
partisan.
Pedophiles.
It's like
that was one of the funny things when this story became a big deal again. Like, it seemed like the people on the right, a lot of people on the right, were like, "Hey, Democrats, you know this is going to take down Democrats too."
Yeah,
and like, a lot of people on the left were like, "Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
That's fine."
And they're like, you just don't get the issue. Yeah, it's like, we do. It's going to take down everyone. That's fine.
Ask Al Franken.
You mean the pedophile sex trafficker ones? Because I'm okay with that. That's all perfectly all fine. Around. None, doesn't matter who they're affiliated with. Take them out. That's good. Doesn't matter. Oh, well, Bill Clinton. Yeah, him too.
Yeah.
Don't give a shit.
You can have him.
Yeah. That's not a sacred thing. Like, who? I don't understand that.
Because it's Jeffrey Epstein and because he's a pedophile, like, I feel like if he dies in prison, there will be a huge segment of the population who will be like, ha ha, got what you deserved. And yeah, but also that means a lot of people don't get what they deserve.
Yeah. And the truth is he deserves a lot more agonizing discomfort and pain knowing that he's giving up his associates against his will than just dying.
Right.
You know, like that's where there are things worse than death and he does deserve those.
Yeah. So that's my opinion, but it kind of piggybacks onto a listener opinion. Should we get to those? Are you ready?
I'm not. The listeners, they're out of control.
You know, it's a big world out there. It's easy to feel like the things you say don't even matter. I want you to know that's only partially true. We call this segment Your Voice Matters, where we read your stupid fucking comments and opinions. Sing, Randall! From the past few episodes.
I can't stand to fly.
And respond to them
that night.
Personally.
We've just been sued.
Fade it out.
Hold on, I'm fading it out.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I should have had this pulled up. Oh, I kind of
my
now
gosh.
There it is. Here it comes. Don't you
all
worry.
Right, all right.
Oh, but first,
hold on. I can fill in the silence.
Also, I have to read off our $25 subscriber names.
That's not a real name.
T. Cookson, Ryan Borey, Eddie Barron, 5X Espinoza, Chaz Chitwood, Mike Ski, Homer Ostasis, Grey Wolf, the ghost of Dave Thomas, Nolan McLean, Shelley, DJ West, Katie Rimmer, Reby, Kelly Stanaway, Teresa H., James Hill, Carson Tuttle, Danny W., AJ Lindbergh, and Jennifer Fendelander with one N. Thank you for your support.
I said that wasn't not a name about somebody.
Which one?
Y'all have to figure it out yourselves.
All right. Let's read this listener opinion. It is from name.
This feels like a think piece.
This withheld. Looks like a lot of. Is this a comment?
No, this is a reasonable length compared to what some people send us.
Oh, God.
Here we go. I think it's great that more people are talking about prison reform, but I still think to some degree the idea is unpopular in spirit, or at least a whole lot of people don't seem to understand what it really means. We're very obsessed with retribution as a society.
True.
And it shows with how we react to the trials and sentencing of some of the most evil people. I get the desire to want someone to suffer for the pain they've caused others, but we seriously need to leave that shit to movies, TV, and games. In real life, cruel and unusual methods of punishment mostly just end up being used on nonviolent criminals or innocent people. What do we think?
I agree, but I don't know what the opinion is.
This shifted from prison reform to like,
is there,
I hope nobody
more,
ends up in
it?
Like a ghost prison in Iraq, which I, an innocent man, and it's like, or innocent people in Guantanamo Bay or some story like that. And it's like, I don't think anyone wants that.
But. I think one example of this is how excited we get at the prospect of someone being raped in prison. Like, how many times do we hear about someone going to jail and the response is, have fun getting raped for the entire time you're in prison, buddy. And that should never, no matter how awful of a person you are, like that should never be the idea behind going to prison. Like you wouldn't want a judge handing out rapes as sentences.
Yeah. And in the way that, like we were just talking about Jeffrey Epstein, and I'm sure a lot of people would say that about him.
Right.
Right. He's a rapist. And a pedophile. Like prison, like now, like I sound like I'm defending rapists and murderers or whatever. But it's like,
and you are,
I am, and that's fine.
Unpopular opinion.
Prison isn't so you go get the thing done to you that you did to other people. Like if you're a rapist, you don't go to prison to get raped. If you're a murderer, you don't go to prison to get murdered. If you embezzled money, you don't go. Like that's not. It's not like some cruel like genie joke where it's like
the old cruel genie joke.
You know, it's like, oh, that genie, I said I want a big car, and he gave me a big car. I don't know.
He gave me a Pinto.
That's not. Yeah, I don't know. So like. Yeah, you're right in that like the punishment for it, the punishment of like doing something bad is not to go to jail to be raped or murdered. Like that's not the punishment is to serve time in like a pretty nasty place. So is that what they're talking about here?
I mean they leave it kind of open-ended, but that's what my mind immediately goes to is this notion that prison for certain people, like depending on the crime you've committed, should just be this nightmare place where sex crimes happen and we're cool with it. But I think like what I worry about when it comes to that, and I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, like sex criminals are a good way for law enforcement to test really crazy punishments and for us to go, all right, well, that's fine because it's a sex criminal. But that still sets a precedent that might apply to other people in the future. And one of the examples I always give is at one point, the Obama administration prosecuted these three dudes who were involved in child porn. And what we argued and what I think we successfully were able to do was revoke their citizenship because they had committed these crimes before they applied for citizenship and didn't tell us. And on those grounds, we were able to go, well, you should have told us about that crime. Your citizenship is revoked. Get the fuck out of here. And because they're involved in child porn, we're all going to stand up and applaud and go, great. That is exactly what we should be doing until it comes to the Trump administration. And they use that precedent to prosecute a 50-something year old grandmother who, at the time she applied for citizenship, failed to disclose that she had been – no. What happened after she had become a citizen, she was working for this company where the CEO pulled off this massive tax fraud. And her sole role, she was a secretary. She wrote up contracts. She didn't know what those contracts were. She filled in the fucking blanks she had to fill in. That was her menial task. And then the CEO gets busted and the FBI comes to her and goes, look, we could send you to prison for a long time just for – being here. So how about you just take this plea deal? You won't face any jail time. You admit wrongdoing. We'll give you a suspended sentence. It's fine. And she was like, all right, yeah, that's fine. 5 years later, she gets a letter from Homeland Security saying, we got to deport you. It turns out that crime that you confessed to, it was happening before you applied for citizenship. And you should have told us that. So you didn't. And now you got to go. So are those the same thing? Because that's how precedents like that end up getting used.
Well, yeah, it's like if it's not case by case and you don't make smart, you don't make any sort of intelligent judgment call there, you're just blanket exporting people, you know, in this case, like in one case, it's because they're actual like criminals. In the other case, it was someone who was involved in a criminal conspiracy but wasn't actively benefiting right. from it. So it's like, why does that count as the same as being a criminal offense? If you're looking at it closely, like if you put it under a microscope, like why is that the same
right.
thing?
And the thing is, you don't, when a case like that involves someone abusing a child, you don't look at it closely. And
no, you just go, yeah, you're a child abuser.
I would argue that we should in some cases, because what that case involving those three dudes did, it like, abusing kids is already a crime. Like, yeah. It didn't further criminalize the act of abusing kids. It criminalized the act of not being completely forthcoming when applying for citizenship.
Right.
In ways that can be used in the future to bust grandmas from Guatemala.
That's one of the main complaints of the Obama era. I mean, even while he was president, is like he did some stuff around executive power and things like that, where you're like, wow, if the wrong guy was president, this would be bad. I don't know if the right guy's president right now.
I feel like we didn't get it right after Obama. I feel like we elected like the wrong guy.
Was not,
No,
I feel let's like not get political here. Jesus. Guy. Oh my God.
I mean, this comment though, I mean, there's a lot here when like the title is reform the way we talk about prison reform, because in my mind, prison reform wasn't even about this. Prison reform was about how like prison is a private industry here and the government sort of feels the need to keep people incarcerated to prop up this industry in the same way that if like every car company just went 100% electric tomorrow, there would be an oil industry that's like, but what about all our jobs and what about our industry? So like, we got to keep people using oil and we got to keep prisons full. And you know, like that's what I think about when I think about prison reform. I think about the privatization of prisons. Yeah. I think about we're loosening and abolishing marijuana laws around this country, yet there are still people in prison for doing something that's not illegal anymore.
But
this person's comment is addition to that. But when we talk about prison reform, I wasn't even thinking about like cruel and unusual punishment for.
But I think there's a good point here that might be lost, because in the second paragraph he says we're obsessed with retribution, and it shows how we react to sentencing and stuff of the most evil people. And I think the problem is that the way we talk about, I think that's also the way we talk about crimes and the way that we delineate crimes in the country, because we've like taboos our crimes, and that's stupid. Like right. we're now dealing with the decriminalization of like of marijuana and stuff like that, and now they're trying to like go back and like let people out of jail for stupid infractions, for like, you know, right. minor infractions of possessing marijuana and stuff, because that's dumb and it was all based on taboos and stuff. So like if you're talking about like, I mean, I'm not totally sure because it says evil people, but that's kind of the problem too, is that we don't have a really defined sense of evil, because we can have like a famous pedophile who people are like making a partisan issue out of and don't
and also like
it blurs, it muddles the whole discussion.
And the idea of evil people as well, like, and especially as we talk about drugs, like, are drug users evil?
Well, yeah, like, that's a good point. It's like
lots of Europe has I think Portugal has completely legal or decriminalized all drugs,
right.
Whether it's heroin or whatever, you know, so we can help people who have drug problems rather than punish them. And it's like, well, as someone who's, you know, doing a lot of crack or whatever, like evil? No,
I think that's I think that speaks to like the thing about prison reform and justice reform go hand in hand.
Sure. Yeah.
And there would be no private prison industry without things like three strikes laws or mandatory minimums. And I think those kind of speak to what he's referring to also, where yes, in the 80s, crack was this huge epidemic that was wrecking communities, but the answer should not have been, all right, well, let's disproportionately jail black people.
Yeah, like, of course.
Like cocaine was coming from all over the world, and you need powder cocaine to make crack. And the idea was, well, crack is the evil, so we'll criminalize that particular part of the process more than anything else. And who are you to be mad about it? Because crack is victimizing black people right now. So why would you get mad about it? And then fast forward to now, and we're like, why were you fucking criminalizing being black, basically?
Yeah, right, right.
And it's like, those are the things that, like, it's like emotion to some degree has to not be involved in prison reform and justice reform. Like, it can't be, like, that's what mandatory minimums were. It was over criminalizing one specific part of the process.
Yeah. Well, these are like knee-jerk reactions to things, where it's like, you know, what do we do? Oh, let's go after something that's a symptom rather than the larger picture of, you know, what really is going on. Because it's like, if you arrest somebody who's a crack addict versus a crack dealer, those are two very different things. Those are two different things for a community. Those are two different things for an individual. And even the dealer themselves is not necessarily the person that's going to be the biggest threat in the scope of things. But you're at least proportionately trying to understand where this, you know, what the problem really, you have to isolate the problem. So it's not just like, oh, I saw someone doing crack, so that means that person is responsible for this entire line of drugs being trafficked into the country and all this stuff like that. Like, you're putting a lot of burden on people who are essentially struggling with addiction problems and stuff. I'm not saying that makes their actions or anything they do good. It just means that needs to be handled in a different way than just like, lock him in jail then, or whatever. And blah, blah, blah.
It's like I don't mean to compare drug addicts to rats here, but like, it's like, I'm using it as a metaphor. Like, if someone, like, if a restaurant or like a business, like, instead of just like disposing of their trash in a normal way, just like went to like your front yard and just like dumped a bunch of trash in it all the time, and there were rats there all the time, you'd be like, oh, well, let's just round up all the rats and get rid of them. But it's like, no, the problem is that someone is dumping a bunch of trash there, which is attracting rats. And again, I'm not comparing drug users or people to rats. I'm just trying to make a metaphor here.
We get it.
Yeah.
And
me and Randall will do it later.
And it's like, well, cool, collecting all the rats isn't going to be the problem. The problem is, like, let's stop the trash. And it gets into this thing I read somewhat
recently. So drug users are
about
trash.
They're not rats, they're trash.
About get it right. How conservative folks and liberal folks process and understand what laws are, and the, you know, and how they are meant to fix societal problems. Conservative folks tend to uphold the law as it's written, and like, their conservatism is about understanding what the law is, and regardless of whether the law is right or wrong, upholding the law. Liberal people tend to go, well, if this law isn't working for whatever reason, let's change the problem let's change the law. Let's change the problem. Conservative people are like, well, I'm just enforcing the law. I'm trying to keep society, and it's a way to try and understand how conservative people think, where they're just like, listen, I'm trying to keep society good here. Like, I'm trying to keep society good here. There's a law and we're I'm just trying to defend this law. This came about where there was some like kids chess tournament or something like that in Washington, D.C. And some conservative senator or congressperson was like, took a picture for his Instagram with these two kid African kids who for some reason like would not be allowed into America like at all. And they were here on some trip to play in a chess tournament or some like model UN sort of thing. And he's like, here with my friends, like whatever and whatever. So sad that they can't be American citizens. Have a good chess tournament, guys. And this conservative congressperson was getting killed on Instagram or whatever. Cause it's like, why are you using these kids as a prop?
Yeah.
When it's like, you're a congressperson. If it's so sad that these two kids from, you know, Somalia or whatever can't become citizens or can't get, you know, get their green card or whatever. And they're obviously good kids. They're smart. They're in this model UN thing or whatever. You have the job to make it change. So kids that you're recognizing that you have met and recognized as, you know, needing a better chance in life.
Yeah, potential good citizens, and then you're just writing them off.
And you're writing them off and just taking a picture with them, yeah. Being like, sucks you can't come to America, but have a good time at your Model UN thing.
Right. Fuck these kids.
And that's the difference between conservatives and this guy is seeing it, and he's like, listen, the rules is the rules, and Donald Trump says the rules is he can't come in. You seem like nice kids. Sorry. So it's a really long way.
It's authoritarian.
But it's like,
thinking.
It's just like, well, it's defending whatever the law is, no matter what it is, rather than attacking the problem or the root of the problem.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, that's a good point where it's like, it doesn't mean that you have to, like, abolish everything. And I mean, certainly if there were a need to do so, you would want to in order to.
We can abolish ICE for sure.
Absolutely. That's a good point right there. Is like that's something that needs to be addressed and looked at and combed through immediately, and then completely fucking dismantled because it's horrific. It's a shit show.
Yeah.
And like I think it's cruel and it's ignorant to go, well, that's just the law. We're going to go along with it. And it's like, well, no. Look at what is happening. Like there are
and
so many negative repercussions of this. We need to actually reevaluate what it is that we're trying to do.
And I think that speaks to what I perceive as the big overall point he's getting at. Like take a show like Oz where we see it and we're like, yeah, that seems like a pretty accurate depiction of what prison life is like. All right, on with my day.
Yeah, right.
And it's like we should not accept like even that like that we accept that like that is a common belief. If you go to prison, if you're not a big tough dude, you're gonna get raped.
Yeah.
And that is a thing we as society have just kind of shrugged our shoulders at and been like, okay, well, yeah,
okay. And now I hope if you go, you do get raped.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that's what this person is saying that we're categorizing.
So normalized, you're like, wait a minute, if I do the math right, that means other bad people will be raped if they go to jail. And that's a good
thing. Or look at the case of the Central Park Five.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like, they're going to end up in that same system. They did end up in that same system that encourages rape. And the one of them who got sentenced as an adult got fucking raped in prison.
Yeah, and for no reason.
And, like, so, like, are we still supposed to shrug at that? Are we like, oh, I guess rape in prison's not a problem?
Yeah.
Like, it's a huge fucking – it is a disaster. It's a human rights disaster. And – it's a thing that even in 2019, depending on who the person is that's going to prison, we're still kind of like, you're going to get raped. And it's like, no, we can't really, like, we shouldn't. That's a thing. That's a fundamental shift that needs to happen is that no matter who you are, going to prison shouldn't be torture.
It's like, you know,
and we have no problem making that argument for terrorists, which thumbs up. We should. We should make that argument that torture is not the answer to terrorism, but it's also not the answer to fucking money laundering.
Yeah. Right. And it's like, you know, people who you know, are in favor of having guns to defend themselves and stuff. And it's like, you know, someone breaks into your house and it's like, oh, and you shoot them dead or whatever. And it's like, well, you know, capital punishment isn't the – that's not death is not the punishment for breaking and entering.
Right.
But by allowing people to have guns and – giving them law, you know, having laws in which you're like, well, if someone breaks into your property, you can just murder them. Like that, that's not the punishment for, that's not the punishment for breaking and entering. It's going right to jail. And however you feel about this, like the punishment for, you know, whatever it is that sends you to prison and shouldn't, sends you to prison shouldn't be sexual assault.
Right.
You know, so I think that's what.
Yeah. Also,
thanks for getting us to talk about things and issues. Listener.
You're more. You seem to be more upset about the Green Lantern shirt.
I am.
Than some of the stuff that came up during
prison. Yeah, what if they go to prison wearing also, a Green Lantern shirt?
Also, I want to point out, to by the way, someone breaks into my house, I'm going to fucking kill them. I don't give a shit. That's
yeah, I do think. I think there's a difference between.
They rolled those dice, not me.
When you say the punishment for breaking and entering isn't death, it's not like. You're convicted of it and the person whose home you broke into gets to shoot you in the head in the public square. Like if you break in someone's house and that person happens to have a gun in the nightstand, those were dice you shouldn't have rolled.
Sure. And that's, you know, maybe, I would like to make maybe that's that a deterrent in America. Like yeah, so many like, people have gun, like you shouldn't want to break it in.
Yeah.
Listen, I've been making a lot of analogies today. Some have worked. Some haven't worked, but I think we
let's
can
say
all,
the guns were
I think
rats.
We can all agree. I think but we I can think, all agree here that Green Lantern t-shirts should be ceremonially burned.
I think
perhaps the person until wearing they them make should good, also be burned.
Until I think they make you a good do Green make, Lantern movie, I don't see why we should we need you, to.
But there should
hold
be
off on
limits on things like that. There should be limits on, like, it's one thing if you're startled by someone breaking in and you fucking kill them, like on a. Just a reaction kind of thing.
And it's your roommate who just forgot his keys.
It should be a case by case basis because, like, if that person's running out of your house and you shoot him in the back in your front lawn, nah, like that. You at least could have aimed for the leg, like in Fargo or something. Like,
well, that's
you don't get to murder people because they stole from you.
Well, yeah, that's the thing too.
But like, you can't.
I think that was the point that I was trying to make.
Yeah,
obviously, there's a matter of self defense here, and if there were only some sort of system in which we can. Have cases seen as individual cases.
That's weird.
Law and order, self-defense coming this fall.
Chun-chun.
I wish they would change it to just chun-chun.
I liked how angry it was, too. It sounds like the bitterness of a worn-out detective.
Let's do this. Chun-chun. Let's get this ISO'd. Chun-chun.
Got it.
You got a new drop.
Chun-chun.
It's over.
I've heard that's like 17 different noises mixed together.
Have you ever seen Will Arnett play air guitar to the Law and Order theme?
No.
Magic. That's look it up on amazing, the internet. It's pretty great.
Is that why Amy Poehler got divorced from him?
Yep, that is.
Cross the line.
All right, let's wrap it up on something a little more lighthearted. These are two separate opinions about ties in sports. First one from Travis Wolf. There should be ties in baseball. Why is it important that an April game between the Orioles and the Mariners go to 15 innings? I'm sure that's really tilting the scales in the playoff race. No extra time, just 9 innings. For playoff games that go to 9 with a tie, they could hold a home run derby like shootouts in soccer. There are 162 games in an MLB season. Cut that shit down or institute ties. And then we have a follow-up opinion from Daniel Liu. Who says time sports like football, hockey, basketball, and soccer should end in a tie if time is up. These sports are designed and played with time limit in mind, and you train to last and perform at your best for that time limit. I don't think you need to go into game mode that isn't how the game is played to determine who the winner is. If you want the fucking win, do it in regulation. I do understand in playoffs you need to find a winner. In baseball, I'm fine with extra innings. Because that seems like the same game is still being played.
So his problem was with, like, for instance, is shootouts in hockey and soccer.
Yes.
I disagree. This is part of the game. If you don't score enough to win, you have to do the stupid. I don't like ties. I don't like ties at all. I'm not European. I'm an American man.
Yeah.
I need to have a winner. I need to have a loser. I am fine with the hockey shootout. I am fine with the soccer shootout. I am fine with football having whatever hell rules it has. basketball, 5 minute period is enough. Basketball, there's so much variance in the score because there's a score almost every possession that games hardly go like 3 or 4 overtimes. It happens like once a year. It's usually settled in one OT.
I think basketball's overtime is the most reasonable. Because they're really short.
To Daniel's point, that's you're still playing in the same way that the game is being played.
Right.
Baseball is interesting because damn, that you can't go 15 innings in April. There was talk of a rule where starting in the 10th inning, teams would start an inning with a runner on second, meaning any hit would essentially any, you know, medium to deep hit would send a runner home. Don't know how I feel about it. It feels like it's really kind of messing with baseball.
I feel like with baseball, I agree that baseball shouldn't go into extra innings just because, like, there's 162 games a year. And you already sometimes, like, if you're talking, like, some games go 15, 16 innings.
It's like 5, 6 hours.
Like, I remember a Cubs game, I think last season, that went 18 fucking innings. Like, that's 2 games.
Yeah.
And you're already talking about the most strenuous schedule in professional sports, I would argue. So with baseball, I wouldn't mind, like, I don't love a tie, but I feel like if you're gonna allow ties, there's no extra shit. Football is infuriating. I hate that a football game can end in a tie in regulation and then they'll play longer and it still might end in a tie. Fuck that. If you're gonna keep me there longer, decide the game.
Yeah, like go to like escalating field goal length.
Yeah.
Like in the regular season at least. I understand in the postseason, just like waiting until someone wins the damn game. And I think a lot of people, I think that feels like the consensus here. I think with baseball, like there's 162 games. Why not have a ties column?
Yeah.
Like that'll still like go into the math of it.
Yeah.
Like if you want to make the playoffs, win more games, dummy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think baseball is the best argument for no overtime. I think the thing baseball needs to do, and I'm sure this has come up and it's very unpopular in the sport, but what baseball needs to do to speed shit up is...
I was about to say the same. Go ahead, sorry.
Well, what they need to do that is they need Little League rules. They need a 10-run rule after the 5th inning, and they need 4 fouls and you're out. That would speed the game up so fucking much.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than having to sit through like innings 6 through 9, like 69 when there's like a 10, like when one team's winning by like 10 runs, it's like, call it
a day.
Why
are you sitting through it?
Right.
Well, that's the thing. But why is any, like at that point, just
why are they playing?
You're just
like, what's
yeah.
The, yeah. Call it good. And also 4 fouls would speed the game up so much.
Yeah, you're watching like a 15 pitch at bat and the guy's just like popping them to right.
Yeah.
To the stands.
There was an at bat last year that took like 12 minutes. That's nuts.
Yeah, like if you want to do the mercy rule at like 5 or 6 innings and then like, but the stadium can stay open for like an extra hour. And
yeah,
like
you get to keep drinking.
Like
you just get to do it on the field now.
There's a band that's on call and they have to play a little concert.
Yeah,
house
it's
band.
The Cherry Poppin' Daddies.
Dropkick Murphys in Boston.
Dun, dun. Chun, chun.
Yeah, they come out and play Shipping Up to Boston for 45 minutes.
Yeah, have a little party. Have a little games over party.
Yeah.
Games over party.
And the players have
that's really, I think that's what people want more, though, is like the immersed, being immersed in the culture and having the time to just hang out there.
If
the game is shorter, but you could still hang.
Yeah.
It's like, I think that would compensate for that.
Or the game is over in the 6th.
Beat to death by baseball players after this.
If the game is over in the 6th, then the players have to go on the field, like, and hang out with the players.
Yeah.
With the fans.
Yeah.
It's like you were bad enough.
They have to tend bar on the field.
You know, you have to sign some shirts and stuff, and
like, and you get mix some margaritas.
Yeah, yeah, you get paid the same. It's just the games are shorter.
Yeah, you're still getting all your millions.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
is
yeah.
it going to kill you to serve some Michelob Ultras after a short game?
I just wanted to throw that in there because it was like it's not about taking money away from the game. It's just about speeding things up a little bit.
Speed it up. What's just it going to kill you, baseball?
A little faster.
Speed it up.
A little faster. Everybody wins.
All right. So I think that's we ended on something lighthearted.
Yeah.
I think we solved it all.
I think we solved it. I think we fixed baseball. I think we fixed
prison reform.
Prison reform. We fixed whatever the fuck Randall had on his mind.
Mother, what is prison reform? Oh, that's something that they solved a long time ago.
Right.
On that one pod.
This podcast will be on a plaque someday.
Yeah.
And if someone can get this to Congress, I think it's going to make some big changes.
I think it will. And, I think it'll fix
I wouldn't
much
want them
everything.
To overlook my grief with the inspirational quotes either. I mean,
right.
That's not high on the list. But don't just write it off because I think that's also...
I think graphic tees days are numbered after this, probably.
Very much.
That is
get
a slippery
slope. Get the Brett Rader anti-bump.
You might want to cut that up before you send it off.
To Congress.
We don't need to go that far.
It's a good point. All right. What do we have to plug before we get out of here? I already plugged. I have a show this weekend if you're listening to this when it comes out. Otherwise, patreon.com/unpops. Check out Pod the Life. Our podcast about corn. It's cool.
Corn.
And give this podcast good ratings and reviews on iTunes or I'll beat your ass.
You should do High as an Elephant's Eye, the podcast about corn, the agricultural marvel.
It's not a bad idea.
When you guys run out of stuff, like all three corn albums, then you can just
do
transition
corn.
Right into actual corn.
Maze.
Yeah.
Randall, what do you have to plug? I should probably let Brett go first. Brett, what do you have to plug?
Follow me on Twitter at Brett Rader. Oh, my God, guys.
Whoa.
You haven't had me on in a little bit. It's July. Hit the music, Adam. This summer, this season of Big Brother is heating up. Ooh, BB 21. Cut it. Season of Big Brother is actually trash. ass.com.
Do you have to have CBS All Access to watch it?
And to watch the live feeds, you do, but to watch the regular.
Are we
episodes,
brothers in CBS All Access? I have it.
I have it, of course, because I watch the live feeds.
Nice.
I have a fucking Big Brother podcast.
Randall, you have CBS All Access?
I have CBS All Access. Don't even answer that, Randall. I have CBS All Access.
I'll do what I want.
Commercial free version.
Me too. Huh? Yeah. Twilight Zone, The Good Fight? Come on.
I have a podcast about Big Brother called Hey Julie. Follow it on Twitter at Hey Julie BB. Hey, man, if you like sports, I produce some podcasts about them over at yahoosports.com. It's a website. You might have heard of it. But other than that, hit it, Randall. Tell them about your CBS All Access.
Yeah, I don't have CBS All Access.
Okay, we're done.
I don't care. But I have...
Cut his mic.
Yeah, you know, whatever. what the fuck are we talking about?
What do you have to plug?
I've got my Twitter, twitter.com, where I tweet. You can go there and check out my stuff on it's Randall Maynard at Twitter. It's usually where I
Randall
post
Maynard
a lot of
at Twitter
my stuff. You can you look at the bottom of the show. And
all right, we're taking our
thing.
Headphones off.
All right, I'll
see
you.
And then
patreon.com/Randall.
Say goodbye,
and
Brett.
Bye,
Randall.
Twitter.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Bristol Street, bring a blood object to Bristol Street. I'm not.